So this is the last Sunday in Lent before Palm Sunday. And I want to start my sermon this morning with the words from hymn number 172 in our United Methodist hymnal. The name of this hymn is, My Jesus, I Love Thee. And the words, very few of the words, are this. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. My gracious Redeemer, if ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. And those words in hymn 172, they animate everything that we see Mary doing in our gospel text this morning. But before I get into my sermon, I have a question. Royal Oak Beloved Worshiping Community, do those words animate everything that you do? My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. My gracious Redeemer, if ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Do they animate you? So we're moving towards the resurrection of Jesus. But we're also moving into the way that we understand our discipleship as followers of Jesus. And what's interesting about our gospel text this morning is it gives us a stark contrast. It gives us a stark contrast between Mary and then Judas. In Mary, we have an example of servant discipleship. And in Judas, we have an example of selfish discipleship. This morning, we're going to explore servant discipleship. And so, dear God, please come into my mind and heart. Please fill me with your love, your grace. Shape my words so my words may touch the hearts and minds of this beloved community. In Jesus' name, amen. Imagine, if you will, the dinner parties that you've had over the years. Fancy parties, casual parties, indoor parties, outdoor parties, summer barbecues, Thanksgiving dinners. When you forgot that if you bought a frozen turkey, you had to cook it longer than a refrigerated turkey. And you had to send out to McDonald's because the turkey wasn't ready. You know, dinner parties you've had over the years. But have you ever had a dinner party like this one that Martha and Mary are doing? You see, because one of the guests of honor at this dinner party is a famous rabbi who, by the way, is wanted by the Jewish authorities who see him as a dangerous agitator. And they are determined to arrest him and probably kill him. Oh, and then the other guest of honor at your dinner party is Lazarus, who recently was dead. It's not like he was recently in New Jersey. He was recently dead. There is a difference, by the way. And these are your two guests of honor. So Martha and Mary are having this dinner party to thank Jesus for bringing their brother Lazarus back to life after 4 days of being dead. But you see, the Jewish authorities and the Roman authorities are really interested in Jesus. And Jesus is taking a large risk to come to this dinner party. It's in the town of Bethany, and Bethany is only 2 miles away from Jerusalem. So he's taking a risk to be here. And he's putting himself in danger. But why would he do this, put himself in danger? Because I believe that Jesus knew what was about to happen. And Jesus came to this dinner party for Mary's anointing. You see, Jesus realized that Mary understood something about him that none of his disciples seemed to understand. Now, Jesus, we know, is the Messiah. And Messiah in Hebrew means the anointed one. And so what does Mary do? She anoints Jesus. Mary prophetically proclaims that Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one. And look at the way God works. He sends his son to earth. And Mary, a woman of no power, no position, a woman who does not speak a word in the Bible, God chooses Mary to be the vessel to anoint his son. So not only is she anointing Jesus as the Messiah, but she is also prefiguring Jesus' death on the cross. You see, Jesus says in verse 7, "Leave her alone. She brought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial." But maybe the burial process of Jesus started with Mary's anointing. Now, I know you want to think, well, it started after he died. But I believe it started when Mary anointed his feet. You see, that act of anointing was really an act of prophetic witness. Because throughout the Old Testament, Jesus is asked, "Are you the Messiah?" But he usually deflects the answer to that question. But at this dinner party, there was no deflection. Jesus let Mary anoint him as the Messiah. And did you notice what Mary did? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. That is important because in those days, only a true disciple was allowed to sit at the feet of the rabbi. And Mary was given that place of honor because Jesus knew in his heart that Mary was a true servant disciple. Now, as the dinner party went along, it had several surprises. Besides the fact that one person used to be dead and this person was wanted number one by the authorities. Another surprise was when Mary brought out a pound of ointment called nard. And this was worth 300 denarii. Let me put that in terms of today. 1 year's wages. And Mary took something worth 1 year's wages, poured it out on Jesus' feet. And then another surprise that happened was Mary unpinned her hair and used her hair to dry the feet of Jesus. In those days, it was not acceptable for a woman to unpin her hair in front of strange men. But Mary did because she wanted to truly serve her rabbi, her savior, her Messiah. And another surprise that happens in this dinner party is that Mary is also previewing the Last Supper. Now, in three of the four Gospels, we have the story of the Last Supper. And in each one of those three Gospels, Jesus breaks bread, offers up wine, institutes the sacrament that we call Holy Communion. But in the Gospel of John, Jesus does not do that. There is no mention of bread or wine in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. As Mary was a servant disciple of Jesus, washing his feet, anointing his feet, Jesus then was a servant disciple of each of his disciples in washing their feet. So there is really something interesting about this dinner party. There were so many things going on. But there's also this wonderful bookend between Mary and Judas. Mary understood servant discipleship. Judas only understood selfish discipleship. Because what Judas valued was not love, as Jesus was proclaiming. Judas valued money. And isn't it interesting that Jesus, who knew this, put Judas in charge of the purse? So Judas is looking at 1 year's worth of wages being poured on the floor, and he is complaining. Now, he wants to make himself look like a servant disciple by saying, "We could have given that to the poor." But that was an act. Because from what we know of Judas, he was probably thinking, "I could have given that to myself." So Judas is the perfect example of selfish discipleship. And I love the way that this is set up in contrast with Mary's perfect example of servant discipleship. But lastly, I'd like you to consider this. Consider the smell. Our scripture says that the house was filled with the smell of the ointment. That's quite a statement to make. In those days, people had a stronger tolerance of smells. They didn't have running water in their houses. They weren't taking showers or bath every day or every other day. So if that nard filled the house with the smell, that was powerful stuff. And I can't help but believe that the powerful smell of that ointment lingered and lingered and lingered. But it was not just the smell of the ointment that lingered. It was the smell of Mary's servant discipleship. And somehow that smell went on to every person that was present at the dinner party. But let's take this outside of the walls of that dinner party. Imagine when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday a week later. Did the lingering scent of Mary's anointing, was that still there? And that did that remind Jesus that he was loved? And then when Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple, and that lingering scent of Mary's anointing was still on him, did that remind Jesus that he was loved? And when Jesus was antagonistically questioned by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and the teachers of the law, who were trying to trap him so they could throw him right in jail, did the lingering scent of Mary's anointing remind him that he was loved? And when Jesus sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, did the lingering scent of Mary's anointing remind him that he was loved? And finally, when Jesus was dying on the cross, and you can imagine how much he suffered dying on the cross, did somehow that lingering scent of Mary's anointing still fill his nostrils and remind him that he was loved? Now, you know, Jesus entered heaven and he had finished his mission to redeem the world. But I wonder, did the lingering scent of Mary's anointing affirm to Father God in heaven that his son Jesus, who taught us how to live and how to love, was also loved by a true servant disciple? I love the way that smells linger. And it's easy for us today to just ignore smells. But I believe that was on Jesus as a marker that Jesus had made a difference in this world. And so, I opened with the words of a hymn from our United Methodist hymnal, and I want to close with the words of a hymn from our United Methodist hymnal. And these words are from hymn 593, "Here I Am, Lord." And "Here I Am, Lord" is one of my favorite hymns because it captures the essence of servant discipleship. "Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me, and I will hold your people in my heart. I just see Mary holding Jesus in her heart, giving Jesus her whole self. And so let us, as Jesus' disciples in this world today, as servant disciples of Jesus, embrace Jesus and all God's children in our hearts and hands. And let us each in our own way, and I stress those words, in our own way, give Mary's blessing to Jesus to everyone that we meet. Let us give our lives over to the power of the Holy Spirit. And let us discover all the new ways that the Holy Spirit is coming into our lives, coming into this beloved worshiping community, and showing us how we can be servants here and now. And so we pray all this, and we give thanks for all this in Jesus' holy and anointed name. Amen.